morning. Today is Monday, January the 11th, the 11th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles.
Happy New Year there, Brian. I haven't had a chance to say that to you yet this year. So
Roll Tide. Okay. I think that's one of the coolest phrases in sports.
Roll Tide?
Roll Tide. Right. Yeah, for Alabama. Yeah. Roll Tide. Yeah, last night I heard one of the interviews on the radio with Russell Wilson. Go Hawks.
Oh, really?
Just a quick little boom. That's okay. Yeah. never having attended either Alabama or like Ohio.
Yes.
You know, Ohio State.
Right.
And then, you know, if you're talking to anybody in the know, I-O. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that bonding thing. So.
Well, it's the season. We'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah, then the season's over and on to another.
We start something else. Yep.
Yeah, it's also budget season, however.
It is.
Let's see. You see the blue book over there, far right?
Oh, I do.
It is a brand new, 2-week-old quote book.
Wow.
Unfortunately, it weighs a little bit more than the other ones did, so it takes, you know, had to fire up the forklift to get it over.
You are breaking out and doing something new way of doing the old traditional things.
Yes, Adam Smith, you remember him?
Yes, indeed.
All right. The Theory of Moral Sentiments.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah, 1759. Actually, this one's pretty cool. Quote, "The great secret of education is to direct vanity to proper objects."
To direct vanity to proper objects. I'll have to give some contemplation.
Isn't that cool? I mean, we're kind of talking about that anyway, the self-interest.
Well, we are. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the budget today. We're going to talk about some exciting conversations that are taking place in education now that occurred over this weekend with nearly 300 educators called STEAM. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that means.
Oh, first, let's start off with the vanity part. That would be the budget.
Okay. Well, you know, in order to make things happen, we have to have a few dollars in the bank.
That's right. We keep hearing, I think we heard with the Ag Report this morning, that the governor is talking about doing some different things in the ag community with water, with some of those challenges, with education. What was the governor's basic precept?
Well, with education, fortunately, he wants to stay the course. You know, we've talked in the last 2.5-3 years now about a new way of funding education in the state of California, which is directed toward having local educators and working with their community to figure out what the priorities are for educational investment through the local control funding formula and the local accountability plans. Fortunately, the governor is very consistent with his belief that that's where the decisions ought to be made, not at the state level, not in the state legislature, not in the governor's office. And so he blew up the box a couple of years ago and said, no more categorical firm programs. We're not going to tell you what to do with your money. We're going to pass the money along and let you make many of these decisions. And so,
is that working out?
And it is. It is. But in order to do that, you have to have a consistent methodology of finance from the state. And new legislators coming into the state, they want to make a difference. They want to start carving that money up again and setting it for certain priorities. And he's resisted that effort. And he continues in this budget to fund this decentralized local control methodology. Good money.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles. Gary, before the break, you were talking a little bit about the governor's budget and his stick-to-itiveness in association with the budget and the percentage that education receives. How come?
How come he's sticking to it?
Well, I mean, politicians don't stick to things.
Well, that's true.
They flitter about.
It's refreshing, I have to say. And, you know, he made a commitment years ago that as the state's economy would improve, that he was going to put education first and foremost at the top of the list for reinvestment. And with the governor's budget proposal that he released last week, we would be, if effected, if everything played out, 95% of the way toward the target that he had identified. And the reason we're so close to the target, because he set this target 3 years ago and expected us to take 6 or 7 years to get there. So we were looking at the year 2020, perhaps 2021, in order to reach this target. And the target was based on the 2007-08 funded year. In other words, the last year before the recession took place. Looked at the amount of investment in education at that time, theoretically placed an artificial COLA over time on that target over the years, and he wanted to be able to restore education funding back to that level. Now, there are many of us that would like to see it even more investment than that, but to say that he at least wanted to make that the first priority, well, we appreciate it very much, because if your education system isn't adequately funded, then a lot of other things will happen in society. And so he recognized that, and he said, that's what we're going to do. Now, he's been blessed by having a turnaround economy. And even though in the recessionary time period, California hit rock bottom and went further down than most of the rest of the nation, we are now on a faster growth track than what the average across the nation is. So California is recovering. And he is taking that additional revenue and investing it. And it, as I said, it looks like we will hit 95% of that target, in other words, that restoration, by 2016-17, and should be at target in 17-18, some 3 years before he had originally, or the Department of Finance had originally, believed was possible. And that I appreciate. Now, there are some things about the budget that do concern me, and we'll sit back and see how it plays out. I mean, there's no panic here. But, for example, the governor is suggesting that he wants to create more local control by taking some of the specialized funding programs now in the pre-K, pre-kindergarten levels, the early childhood education levels, and making those more what they call block-funded to schools. Now, that may be good on one hand, but his proposal, interestingly enough, involves programs run by nonprofits, run by schools, and then he's lumped in transitional kindergarten.
Not those that you contract out with, but those
that are... No, those are direct funded to nonprofits and running preschool programs. And you sit back and go, wow, how's that going to play out? You know, if I am...
So funding you and, in theory, your competition.
Well, people that are filling a niche that maybe the public schools actually don't fill very well, actually. You know, I've never looked at state-run preschools run by community agencies as being competition for state preschools that school districts might run. I think they're a complement.
Who in our area, as an example?
Well, actually, there
or is there anybody in our area?
Anybody now? But there used to be. For example, Changing Tides. Under their banner before him, the Humboldt Child Care Council, people might remember them a little bit more. North Coast Children's Services, in addition to running Head Start, had some state preschool contracts. Even the County Office of Education ran a state preschool. We called it Kids in Motion. You're asking me to really draw back out many decades ago. But
if it's being done by educators, there are standards associated with it, even if it's just the licensing process. A nonprofit...
No,
I would think
your community
kind of loosens
agencies,
things up a little bit, doesn't it?
No, community agencies had to follow the same state preschool guidelines.
Okay, so the standards weren't any different.
No.
It was just the provider being different?
No, it's just the providers are being different. And so he has a vision that really wasn't thoroughly fleshed out, at least with regard to the budget. And many of us in the field are really scratching their heads. So I'm not sure what he's trying to get at. And I'm going to watch it very carefully because I can speak from the transitional kindergarten programs that are being run by school districts here in the county. They are being very effective. We have some great data coming out showing that young children's needs are being well served. And there's tremendous growth and preparation for traditional kindergarten after they go through a TK program.
Wouldn't the state education board know what he's talking about? I mean, don't they talk to each other? And then you could talk to those guys and say, help us interpret this thing?
I'm not sure. You know, the one thing about the governor, I will say about Jerry, he must spend the entire Thanksgiving, Christmas break behind closed doors working with his central advisors because not a lot leaks out to the other folks. I'm not sure how much of the field he's actually, but he
maybe
is,
he goes to Hawaii.
Well,
yeah, so. He's just out of contact.
But he is thoughtful, and he's got a plan. I'm not so sure it's perfect, but we'll take a look at it.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles. Gary, after the budget stuff is kind of, I guess it's in flux, it will be settling down, and hopefully you'll be able to, or people will be able to interpret whatever the goals are and the monies associated with it. That still doesn't mean, I would suspect, that you're running around, twiddling thumbs, waiting for that to happen.
No, here's what happens. It is required on the part of school districts to use the governor's proposed budget in January to begin to develop their own budget for the upcoming year. What's interesting is actually that's kind of a process that while it starts now, until the budget is actually signed in June, there's a lot of changes that go on. And so educators have to, all state government funded programs have to watch what happens very carefully because the governor puts out the budget plan. Select legislators in Sacramento then pick up various elements of that budget plan, whether it's in the social service arena or health or in education, and they craft proposed bills. And those will be introduced over the next few weeks. As those bills are crafted, these very broad, sweeping concepts that are contained in the budget then get more detail. And there's an opportunity during the deliberative process, the legislative review process of committees and public input, to be able to refine what some of those concepts look like. So what happens is, just because the governor suggested this is the way I think business ought to be done, it doesn't necessarily translate into that's how it will actually be done by the time the state budget goes.
Sounds like politics to
me.
Huh?
But it gives us a framework. So, for example, when the governor says, I'm gonna suggest putting so much money into this local control funding formula amount of money for distribution throughout the state, and then I'm going to take this pot of money and do something else with it. For example, one of the categorically restricted programs in the state still remains special education. That is of particular interest to us here just simply because of the numbers of students who are benefiting by special ed programs. But he is suggesting that that only get a 0.47% cost of living adjustment. I can tell you that currently that school districts on average help to support their special ed programs by contributing as much as 30 to 40% of the cost from their general fund. And some people will say, well, special ed is underfunded. That's a common phrase. It is. Not all the money that's put in special education is enough. So when he's suggesting that we are going to just give it a COLA 0.47%, when it doesn't even pay for all the bills now, is of grave concern.
And that's pretty much across the board for all school districts?
Yes.
Even those that don't have the percentages that you have?
Well, that's a typical average, is between 30 and 40% underwriting. That's the average. Now, Of course, you've got some districts that spend very little and some that spend more.
Why wouldn't that have gotten far more attention from the governor?
I don't know. It's driven me crazy for years, Brian, because it's the one area I cannot get traction in Sacramento on, despite not
so
only
some,
my
somebody's kid or somebody's grandkid hasn't been able to either benefit from it or has needed it to really get fired up and to run the gauntlet.
That could,
because it sounds like it's a gauntlet on this one.
Well, it is. It is at both the state and the federal level. The federal government has never funded what it has stated, even in the initial passage of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA. The federal government said, we will fund 40% of the impact of this legislation, and they've never gotten there. Right now, they're down to about 17%, 18%, not 40, which means the bulk of the responsibility to affect that law falls to the states. Well, in the state of California, there has been a reluctance to give it, so we're going to pass it down to the locals. And maybe it's because they don't get credit for putting money into programs that already exist. So maybe it's that. Or maybe it's a lack of understanding. But I'll tell you, we've got people up and down the state of California who have tried to provide the legislature and the governor with more education about these needs, and we just don't have the traction.
Just run into a wall.
And I'll tell you, he had a perfect opportunity, because based on Department of Finance projections, they're saying statewide fewer kids next year will need special ed support, and which is not true. Statewide, they're expecting a slight decline in the numbers of kids in general in education in the state of California. And because special ed funding from the state goes out via so many dollars per kid, they're saying, oh, well, we'll save money.
The percentage.
No, they should keep that investment targeted towards special ed and then add to it. So it's the one area of one of my highest concerns in representing the interest of local districts is to get that special education contribution from the state higher.
KINS, well, maybe you need to buy him a turkey. If it's from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Oh. Maybe that's why. Or invite him to my own.
Put a little note in there, yeah. A fortune cookie with your turkey. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles. Gary, you were alluding to in the introduction of this morning's program that you guys had a little bit of an event this weekend.
We
was
did.
Kind of a kick in the pants and something that was a little bit, well, thought-provoking for folks.
Absolutely. What was conducted was what called Gathering STEAM. A lot of people may have heard of STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And our push is to add the arts and to create STEAM. But to think about this. The steam engine drove the Industrial Revolution. That's what they considered was the major driving force that created the momentum, as it were, back there for manufacturing. And we're using that analogy to drive the educational system of the future and preparing kids for the life in the 21st century, is emphasizing science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics, and looking at the concept of inventing to learn. Other people might refer to it as the maker movement. In the communities throughout the world, you'll find there, I think there are like 25 or 30 different major maker fairs where people get together and they create and they come together and share their creations. I don't mean arts and crafts, but I'm talking about new inventions and new conceptualizations.
Like the CES show in Vegas? The Consumer Electronics Show?
That's more commercial type stuff. They have some of those elements, yes. Because the concept, though, is turning the clock back in a way and looking at education more from the process and capturing, for example, a young child's interest in play. That play to a child is the way they learn about the world. We talk about how kids today seem to pick up education and the use of, our smartphones and all of that so much easier than adults. Well, if you stop to think about it, it's because they're not afraid to push buttons. They're not afraid to try. And they learn by doing. They push something, it does something. They go, oh, I like that, or I don't like that, so I'll push something else.
Tactile.
They're not afraid to get involved.
Yeah.
And it's not that brains of adults have that we can't think the same way. It's that as we've grown up over time, we get that sense that, well, we can't fail, that we have to get it right the first time. And if we don't get it right, we've done something wrong, and that's bad. Well, what the whole concept of invent to learn is all about is the process is a circular process. You think about a concept, you go out and try it, you test it, find out what works, what doesn't work, and you come back and rethink about it and try something different again. It's the iterative process of learning and doing, and it's envisioning in some ways turning the clock back. When computers were first introduced, the personal computers, people had to program their own because there weren't thousands and thousands of applications softwares out there. People had to program their own computer in order to get what it is they wanted to do. Now, they were very low-powered computers compared to what we have now. And now we're infused with all that software. But what we've done is we've taken away the ability for people to look at the computer as really as a tool, as a material to create something. And what we want to do is kind of bring that old back and teach people to use the computer to realize a vision that they have, not to just apply something that's somebody else's vision.
You could probably use a parallel with a hammer. You know, if you buy houses completed and you never see one being built,
you never
see the hammer.
That's right.
And,
yeah.
You know, what's this goofy-looking thing?
Yeah. And so you're going to be hearing a lot more about it. We had over almost 300 people from around the North State. These were educators. And even though it was organized by Stacy Young, who did a brilliant job of putting the program together, and she is our arts education specialist, the majority of the players in attendance were science teachers and math teachers and the like. So,
cool. Well, great. Maybe you can bring her out in the next couple of shows here and we can kick something around.
Love to do that.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me once again.
See you tomorrow.